Ladies and gentlemen, we reached the point in our meeting where it's time for our public hearings. We're very glad that you're with us this evening, giving up your Thursday evening to participate in your planning and zoning process. Let me assure you that anyone who wishes to speak on a given application will be given the opportunity to do so at the appropriate time and in accordance with the rules of the commission. Speaking of the rules of the commission, please allow me to refer you to our esteemed counsel to my right and your left, who has a few well-chosen words to share with you about the way we conduct our meetings and the way we'd like you to conduct yourselves.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is the time for the public hearings scheduled before the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission, shown on today's agenda. These proceedings are conducted under the rules of the Planning and Zoning Commission. These proceedings are being broadcast on the internet at sussexcountyde.gov. There is a 30-second delay between what occurs live in this room and what is broadcast on the internet. All commission matters are discussed and voted on publicly in open meetings. Everyone present and everyone participating virtually is invited to stay throughout the commission meeting to view the commission's deliberations and the votes on the pending applications. Everyone in attendance or participating virtually must conduct themselves in an orderly fashion, and no applause or other disruptive behavior is permitted. Please do not distract from these proceedings, and please follow the direction of the chair. For those of us here in the room, if you have a telephone or similar device, we ask that you turn it off or switch it to silent. The hearings will be conducted as follows. First, the application will be announced by the chair, and then the director will review the application and describe any agency comments or correspondence that has been received. Then the applicant will present and explain its application to the commission, and the applicant may present any exhibits and testimony in support of the application. The commission may question the applicant and its witnesses at any time. After the applicant's presentation, the chair will invite public comment. For testimony from people here in the room, supporters will go first, followed by any opponents. If there is a spokesperson or an attorney representing an organized group, we ask that they identify themselves so that they can speak first. We will start with folks present in the room, and then we will ask to hear from people participating remotely through the call-in number. Because there is a 30-second delay, we will pause the hearing to allow the internet broadcast to catch up for people watching online and wanting to participate by phone. For those of you here on the premises who wish to speak, we ask you to come forward to the podium and identify yourself by name and place of residence for the record. We just need the name and place of residence for anyone speaking on the phone as well. We ask that you be concise in your statements and avoid being repetitious. The chair has the authority to set reasonable time limits on testimony from the applicant and the audience, and he has the authority to terminate testimony from anyone when that testimony is irrelevant or unduly repetitive. No direct questioning or cross-examination of the applicant, supporters, or opponents will be permitted. Any questions should be directed to the commission, and the commission will direct the question to the appropriate person if necessary. Finally, Sussex County and its zoning and land use decisions does not discriminate against persons based on race, color, religion, national origin, source of income, handicap or disability, familial status, sex, creed, marital status, age, sexual orientation, or gender identity. Public comments made on the basis of bias or stereotype concerning people within these protected classes will not be taken into account by Sussex County in its deliberations. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
All right, so we thank you. Our first public hearing is an ordinance to amend the future land use plan, future land use map of the comprehensive plan in relation to tax parcel numbers 532-12.00-1.00, 532-1200-27, 532-1800-4200, 532-1800-4400, and 532-19-1.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Submitted into the record for the first ordinance this evening, we have received a copy of the an exhibit booklet from the landowner, and we've received an exhibit map from the landowner. Submitted into the record, we also have a copy of the county's exhibit map which is shown on the screens before the Commission. We also have a copy of the PLUS submission for this ordinance that was submitted to the State Planning Office. I would note that we've received in total one letter in opposition which has been circulated to the Commission in your paperless packet. If I could provide a bit of an overview in that this is not a change of zone application, this is an ordinance to consider a potential revision to the future land use map. And as the Commission is aware, the Delaware Code mandates that all counties and municipalities in Delaware have a comprehensive plan in place, and that counties and municipalities must review and update those plans for state certification every year, while also providing annual updates on the progress of implementation. The Sussex County's comprehensive plan was adopted by County Council on Tuesday, December 4th of 2018, and following that, the comprehensive plan was certified by the Governor on March 19th of 2019. And within that comprehensive plan, there is a future land use map, and then within the future land use map, we have the future land use plan categories, which you will hear staff often refer to in terms of applicable zoning districts for decision making. In fact, Table 4.5-2, which the Commission is familiar with, actually states that certain applicable zoning districts translate to certain categories and designations on the future land use map. So in May of this year, staff received a request to consider a potential revision to the future land use map for the five parcels shown on the screen. Upon receiving the request, staff prepared a submission to the State Planning Office to submit, because any change to the future land use map has to be reviewed by the State Planning Office, and that was submitted to PLUS for review in June. Following that, we received comments back in July of this year. They are included in your paperless packet. And following discussions with the State Planning Office and discussions with the landowner for the parcels, it was agreed to bring those forward for further consideration as part of a public hearing process. And that's what has led up to today. So with that being said, Mr. Chairman, I actually have two people to introduce to you this evening, so who will be assisting us as part of this hearing. And it's Mr. David Edgell and Dorothy Morris from the State Planning Office. The Commission are probably most likely familiar with Dorothy Morris. You will see her PLUS comments and responses. Each time application goes to PLUS, and they're included in your comments. David Edgell is the new director of the State Planning Office for Coordination. He's the new Connie Holland, and David has taken over this summer. And David has been with the State Planning Office for many years. And as this is an ordinance to consider a potential future land use map amendment, I would suggest and encourage that if the state have comments, I would encourage those to be come forward first before the Commission hear from any landowner or interested party.
Indeed, please.
Good evening, everybody. Thank you for having me. Thank you for the introduction, Jamie. I do take some offense that I do not replace Connie Holland. You cannot replace Connie Holland. But I'm happy to be here leading this.
I need to ask you to state your name for the record in your own voice.
So. In my own voice, I am David Edgell. I'm the director of the Office of State Planning Coordination for the state of Delaware. We are located at 122 Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard South in Dover, Delaware, and we're pleased to be here tonight.
Thank you. It's all yours.
Tonight, I'm here to oppose the plan amendment and the change in future land use on behalf of the state and its agencies, and I will explain our rationale there. The county comprehensive plan was certified in 2019, and the plan was prepared by the county through an inclusive process and involved an extensive public outreach effort. The plan was thoroughly reviewed by the state agencies and the Cabinet Committee on State Planning Issues before being certified by the governor. Plan certification indicates that the plan is consistent with the strategies for state policies and spending, as well as, and also indicates that the state and its agencies will work collaboratively with the local government to implement the plan. Plans are long-range documents that are relied upon by many private and public sector entities as they make long-term plans for investments in infrastructure and services. This is why any amendments to the certified plans are reviewed by the state through the preliminary land use service process. In this case, the proposed amendment was determined to be not in compliance with the state strategies and to represent a major change from the certified plan that warranted our objections. For the record, I'd like to summarize our comments from the PLUS letter that I believe is in your packet. These parcels are currently within the low density area of your county plan, and they're also in investment level 4 of our strategies and state policies and spending. One of the parcels is in something called an existing development area, which our understanding of your plan is that represents areas that are sort of existing uses that are currently zoned but are scattered throughout the county. And the proposal here is to bring all those parcels to be moved into developing areas. And the developing areas are identified as newer emerging growth areas that demonstrate the characteristics of developmental pressures. Most of the developing areas are adjacent to municipalities within or adjacent to future annexation areas or adjacent to town centers in your plan. The parcels in question do not meet the definition of a developing area. They're not adjacent to the town of Delamar, nor are they within or adjacent to the potential future annexation areas of the town. The town of Delamar plan has been recently updated and certified, and these areas were not included in their planned growth area. There has been no justification mentioned for why the higher density development will be needed in this part of the county, and the state sees no reason for the proposed change from investment level 4 to an area that would allow more growth and more development. The Sussex County certification letter, which was issued by the governor in April 2019, indicates that the plan is certified provided no major changes are enacted. And this, you know, again, is something that we weren't anticipating it would be such a major change. And the process that we follow in this case, which is really very rare, is that our office works through the Cabinet Committee on State Planning Issues, which advises the governor on these matters. And if we have an objection of this sort, we have to enter into a 45-day negotiation period with the local government, which we have started, and work closely with Jamie and his planning staff. And as part of that process, we mutually agreed that we would extend that time period to allow these public hearings, you know, to proceed, so the applicants can certainly have their local review process as is appropriate. What happens from here is there are two potential paths forward. We have another hearing, I believe, scheduled in front of the county council pending the outcome of this body's deliberations. We did report on the progress to the Cabinet Committee on State Planning Issues at their September 30th, 2021 meeting. And at that meeting, we reviewed and discussed basically the summary of what I just described to you here, our plus comments. And that Cabinet Committee unanimously approved a motion to support the state's position as described in the plus letter. From here at this point, should the County Council hear this application and decide to stick with their comprehensive plan, which is our hope, then no further action would be necessary by the Cabinet Committee or the Governor. Should the County Council, after hearing the application, decide to proceed with the application towards approval, we would ask that they table that action, and we would refer the matter back to the Cabinet Committee on State Planning Issues for a dispute resolution process, which is spelled out in Delaware Code. And we're certainly hopeful that that's not going to occur in this case. And in closing, I'd like to thank you at Sussex County and the Planning Commission for the opportunity to give these comments. We want to work in collaboration with all of our local governments, and I think this process is an example of where we have an issue to take exception, and we work very closely with the planning staff and reviewed the application very carefully and are working through your process to make sure everybody is heard and that we make a good decision that's beneficial for all parties involved. And I am available to answer any questions should you have them, and if you would like to have me up after you hear other testimony, I'm happy to do that as well.
All right. Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Okay, Mr. Whitehouse, I think it's now time to hear from the applicants or the property owners. Gentlemen.
Good evening. For the record, my name is David Hutt, local attorney here in Georgetown with the law firm of Morris James. This evening, I'm representing Double H Properties 2 LLC and Blackwater Schofield LLC. The applicant for the future land use map amendment that was just described by Mr. Whitehouse, and you also heard the comments from the director of the Office of State Planning and Coordination. I think both of the faces of the people that are with me tonight are familiar to you, but for the record, I will introduce them. To my right and your left is Bobby Horsey. He's a principal of the entities that I just introduced. To my left and your right is Zach Crouch, a professional engineer with Davis Bowen and Friedel. As this was introduced by Mr. Whitehouse just a moment ago, as you heard, this is an ordinance that was drafted to amend the future land use map in portion of the comprehensive plan, chapter 4 of that comprehensive plan, for 5 parcels that consist of approximately 895 acres of land. You can see those on the screens around the room right now. That is the most recent aerial imagery that's publicly available with the five parcels highlighted in yellow. As you know from prior presentations that I've made to this commission, the history of a property is always something that intrigues me. And beyond intriguing me, and more importantly for your purposes, it's something that generally I believe helps a decision maker consider the application that's in front of them and all those facets and details, including the history of land use for a property. I know at least one commission member will be familiar with the project that I'm about to describe, but in 2006, September of 2006 specifically, this commission considered the Blackwater Creek project, which consists of the same parcels with the addition of one parcel this evening. And just to be clear about what that parcel is, these parcels here are all part and parcel of that former Blackwater project. This piece in the upper right-hand corner or northeast corner directionally was not part of that project. As you can see, this is one of the exhibits from the project booklet that was part of the Planning Commission process in 2006. That actually consisted of four applications in front of this body, which became three applications in front of the County Council. And those four applications for Blackwater Creek were change of zone 1595, which sought to change the zoning designation for 3.2 acres of land from AR1 to B1, the Neighborhood Business District, which, as you know, is now a closed district in your zoning code. Change of zone application 1596, which was an AR-RPC application for 233 acres. And change of zone 1597, which was a GR-RPC application for 274 acres. The fourth application that only the Planning Commission considered, of course, because subdivisions do not make it to County Council, but that was a cluster subdivision application number 2005-57, and that was for 400 units on 200 acres. This Planning Commission recommended approval of all three of those change of zone applications and also recommended preliminary approval of the subdivision application that I just referenced. A month later, County Council conducted the same public hearings on those three change of zone applications. And then ultimately, in January of 2007, Sussex County adopted all three of those change of zone applications. So change of zone application 1595, 96, and 97 were adopted by County Council at that time. Of course, that's January of 2007. Everyone in this room knows what happened in 2008. In 2008, the real estate market became depressed, and of course, this project did not move forward at that time. In 2008, the county also updated its comprehensive plan and the future land use plan that was part of that. And what's on the screens around the room right now is the 2008 future land use plan that was part of the county's future land use chapter in its comprehensive plan. As you can see on that plan, the properties that are in question were all the properties that were subject to the Blackwater Creek project are shown as being in the yellow area, which is a developing area of Sussex County. And then you can see there's a portion of that upper right-hand northeast parcel that is in the existing general residential rather, and then there's a piece in between there that is simply low density. Of course, we are not under the 2008 comprehensive plan anymore. You just heard the process as it was described by both Mr. Whitehouse and Secretary Edgell regarding the update that occurred in 2018, actually adopted and signed by the governor in 2019. And as this commission knows, there was an extensive process that occurred for that to occur. I don't think I attended as many meetings as all of you did, but I did attend an awful lot of those, and I believe you'll hear from Mr. Horsey in a moment that he attended most of those meetings as well. And there, so I do agree with Mr. Edgell to the extent that there was an extensive public process that was part of the adoption of the 2018 comprehensive plan for Sussex County. And through that process, this body worked diligently, listened to property owners like Mr. Horsey and many others that came to those workshops, came to various hearings. And ultimately, the product of that was a recommended version of the future land use plan that this body sent to County Council. And on that plan, and this plan is still available on the county's website. It's described as the recommended version by the Planning Commission. And I haven't blown this up on the screens, but that's because this property is fairly easy to identify in this bottom lower left-hand corner. And you can see that these properties now have two designations on that future land use plan. On the left-hand side, you see a mixed residential area, and that's on basically Providence Church Road is dividing these locations. So on the left-hand side, you have the tannish color, that is that mixed residential area, and then on the right-hand side of Providence Church Road, you have the yellow area, which is still consistent with that developing area from the 2008 future land use plan. Both of those designations on the future land use map would be growth areas within the county. And so that was consistent and stayed consistent with the 2008 version of the comprehensive plan. As I mentioned, the Planning Commission forwarded its recommended version of the future land use plan to County Council. As you know, when County Council received that, there were significant changes that were made to both Chapter 4 of the comprehensive plan and, of course, the future land use map that was within that plan. As you know, not only did the map change, but there was new future land use categories that were added and certain ones were renamed. And so there was what I'll call a wholesale change from the recommended version that came from the Planning Commission County Council made. And of course, County Council conducted a similar process. I don't think they conducted quite as few workshops on the map itself as this body did. But County Council had a similar process where it released a recommended version of the future land use plan for the public to review and comment on. And as you can see, again, the property is right down here in the lower left-hand corner. As you can see that on that future land use plan that the County Council was recommending at that time, this property is designated as there's a new category, and that's called existing developing area. And that is the designation of several of the parcels that we are talking about this evening already. After the recommended version of County Council was released, County Council conducted one final public hearing for the public to review and commented on its recommended version of the future land use map and, of course, other chapters within the comprehensive plan itself. During that time, the County Council conducted the public hearing, and ultimately this map that you see here is the future land use map. This looks just like the one that Mr. Whitehouse showed at the outset of the meeting as part of the application this evening for the amendment of the future land use map. And while it is hard to see, and actually before I mention that, the one thing I would, obviously the applicant disagrees with the comments from the Office of State Planning Coordination, but one of the basic facts is I believe that the Secretary indicated that one of the parcels was in an existing development area, and it's hard to distinguish the lines a little bit, but there's actually two parcels on the western side of Providence Church Road, and then a portion of that northeastern parcel that are already within that existing developing area. And it's very hard to see, and it may be easier to see in other documents that are online, but even between the version that was recommended by County Council and the ultimate version that we see presently, there's a difference in that existing developing area. When you look at the lower right-hand corner, and I have the hand cursor right below it, you can see on the southeast side of the intersection of Providence Church Road and Delmar Road. That is no longer in either any of the growth areas, whether it's developing area or an existing development area. In addition, on the north side of Delmar Road, all of the properties that we're talking about this evening are within the existing developing area, and it's sort of it's hard to see without increasing the size of this, and I'm not sure how it will show up on the screens around the room. But this is the south east corner that I was talking about that is no longer in an existing developing area, and as you can see, that existing developing area goes up and around and through that parcel that I just, that northeast parcel, and then actually comes back down on the other side to all the way down to Delmar Road. And of course, that is different than how you see the final version of the future land use map as it was ultimately certified and signed off on by the governor. Obviously, most of the applications, and I think tonight was no different. I sat here and listened to the Planning Commission as it discussed its old business. I don't believe within those applications there was anything that you would say was on the southwestern side of Sussex County, and I believe that's consistent with the application, the volume of applications that this body sees. Obviously, typically, most often development presently is focused on the eastern side of Sussex County. What was explained during the 2006 public hearings before both the Planning Commission and County Council for Blackwater Creek was how ideal this location is for a number of reasons for this type of growth and development. And ultimately, that was reflected on the 2008 comprehensive plan, the version initially recommended by the Planning Commission, the version initially recommended by County Council as well. And a quick summary of some of those reasons, without obviously, there's not an application here this evening, so I don't need to establish all of the factors and meet all of those requirements. But the close proximity to Salisbury is one of those primary reasons. As everyone knows, Salisbury is the largest city on the Eastern Shore, and it's a city that is growing. The city of Salisbury is a major employment center, again, maybe the most significant employment center on the Eastern Shore. Probably the two most significant employers that are there are what used to be called PRMC, and of course has now been renamed as Tidal Health. And of course, Purdue is headquartered and based out of Salisbury. And those are just the two primary businesses. I'm sure everyone in this room and listening online has been to Salisbury many times and knows that it is a city, as one would consider that. And of course, this site lies in close proximity to that. And there are ways to get to Salisbury that do not involve even going out on 113 from this location. Of course, since the Blackwater project was approved in 2007, the county has grown, the city of Salisbury has grown, and in particular, I would note Tidal Health again. Let's talk about some of the healthcare providers in the area. Tidal Health has expanded its footprint, and that footprint now includes Seaford and Millsboro, with multiple locations in both of those areas. Within the project book, there was also a map that showed numerous other employment opportunities and employment centers within the area. In addition, there was maps showing the places of higher institutions of higher education that existed in the area. Of course, Salisbury has Salisbury University, which everyone's familiar with, but there were several other institutions of higher learning that were shown as being in close proximity to this site. In addition, of course, there was a map showing those healthcare providers that I just described. Hopefully, with that background, that helps to understand some of the history of the project and also some of the history of how Blackwater Creek came to be. And I believe that Mr. Horsey will also address some of that history and also how that need is probably even greater in today's environment than it was in 2007 when it was approved. As Mr. Whitehouse mentioned when he introduced the application, there was a request made to amend the future land use map that ultimately brought us here this evening. And the purpose of that was because as Salisbury and Sussex County have grown, the need exists for this type of development. And it wouldn't be Blackwater Creek. Obviously, there's the codes have changed and such. But something that can come in very similar to that, and that interest still exists and the demand is still strong. So what the applicant did was looked at the future land use plan chapter of the zoning code and looked for the best future land use category in that code to match this area and its characteristics. And the one that best matched this area and even the former approval and the former designations on prior future land use plans was the developing area designation. As you heard from the summary from Secretary Edgell a moment ago, you know that the Office of State Planning Coordination takes a different view of whether or not the developing area is appropriate for this property. Before I address a couple of those specific things, one of the comments that Secretary Edgell summarized tonight and is also in the PLUS report is that this is a level four area. And while I agree that certainly the designation on the state strategies map, those maps are available online and you can see that these properties are shown as being within a level four area, that is largely because of the county's designation of those areas on its future land use map. I've had many conversations with Ms. Morris, who's sitting there. I haven't had the privilege, Secretary Edgell, because you're relatively new, and other members of that staff. And I've always been told, and it makes sense, that the single most significant factor of determining the state strategies map is the designation on the underlying local government's future land use plan. And that's the same whether it's a municipality or the county. And that's why those plans get certified through the state, and they can certainly speak better to that process. But there's a very high emphasis placed on the underlying designation on a future land use plan from the local jurisdiction in which it arises. And so it's not surprising that, for instance, those three parcels on the right-hand side of Providence Church Road are shown as level four because they're designated as low density on the county's future land use map. And where this comes into play in particular, and it's set forth in the PLUS letter, but one of the, as you know, the Office of State Planning Coordination, as its name implies, coordinates various state agencies. And of course, principally among those is probably DLDOT. I believe their comments almost always come first in a PLUS review letter. And the PLUS comments in the letter that you have in the materials is instructive on this application, because those PLUS comments relate back, of course, to the Blackwater Creek project. If you looked through those, you would have seen an exhibit similar to the one I showed earlier showing the project, and you would have seen, of course, that there was a traffic impact study done, of course, for Blackwater Creek and what those improvements were. But when you read the PLUS comments, you see that they were careful to note that because of the designation on the state strategies map, the improvements would not be coming through the state. Improvements to roadways and transportation would be the responsibility of the property owner or developer of the project. And so I think that is consistent with what those designations are and frankly what the history of the property is. When you look at the section of the future land use plan, chapter four, the comprehensive plan, chapter four, you see in there that each of the various growth areas has the same bulleted points set forth within it. And the first bulleted point within each of those designations or categories on the future land use map is permitted uses. And the permitted uses in a developing area, and I'll read a portion of this, is to support a variety of housing types in selected areas at appropriate intersections, commercial uses should be allowed. If you went back and looked at the Blackwater Creek items, you would see that that's essentially what you have at the intersection of Providence Church Road and Delmar Road. You can still see, this is the current zoning map for the county. Also, Delmar zoning appears on the right-hand side. But you can see that in the lower left-hand or the northeast corner of that intersection that I just described, right here, that is the 3.2 acres that was zoned a B1 through that process. And so at an appropriate intersection with the appropriate improvements made by the property owner, that is appropriate within a developing area as set forth in the code. And again, neighborhood business B1 is still there because, of course, even though the subdivision wasn't built, as you know, a change of zone application carries forward with the property itself. So that describes, that permitted use helps to describe the function of how this could be, actually was a developing area, and then has can continue to function as a developing area. Second, the second bullet point within each category talks about density. And of course, in every one of these categories, you start with the county's base density of 2 units to the acre, and then the comprehensive plan states that medium and higher densities can be appropriate when, and then there's a list of several guiding factors for when medium and higher densities could be appropriate. Those include when central water and sewer are present, when you're near sufficient commercial uses, when you're along a major road or at or near a major intersection, and then there's other considerations that flow from there. The first of those is the availability of central water and sewer. And of course, as you know, in many applications, that's what drives density and helps to determine whether or not it's the standard 2 units to the acre or not. For this project, you can see that, or these properties, you can see that the Tidewater Environmental Services, Inc., or TESI, as most people would call it, I believe, has a CPCN for each of these parcels, except for the, again, that northeast corner. But one would anticipate that TESI, or Artesian, I believe, as it will be shortly known in a very short time here, has the CPCN, and so public wastewater service is available to the site. Similarly, you can see that there we have the water service territories and the CPCNs that are provided for public water. And again, it is Tidewater Utilities, Inc., which will likely be Artesian here in the very near future. And you can see that there is a CPCN actually for all of the parcels, including the one in the northeast corner of the property. The third, or another of the considerations, of course, is that the property be ideally situated for places for commercial uses. And I described a little bit of Salisbury already, and I'm sure that my experience is similar to those of many other parents of children in this area, where I think I spend an inordinate amount of time and money in the Salisbury area, whether it's for school-related activities or sports-related activities, all of those things. And that just goes to emphasize the impact that the city of Salisbury has here in Sussex County in particular, but on the entire Eastern Shore. Another element, of course, the third bullet point in each of those categories within the growth areas is the category of infrastructure. And generally, it says almost the same thing, which is that in each of the various growth areas, it says the central water and sewer facilities are strongly encouraged. And of course, as you have just seen from the CPCN maps of this area, central water and sewer is certainly what would be used at this site. In addition, there is another part of the developing area that I wanted to reference tonight, and some of it's going to sound ironic at first when I say it, but I think it's just a quirk of the comprehensive plan. But within those bulleted descriptions of the developing area within the comprehensive plan, there's a sentence that states as follows. Master planning should be encouraged, especially for large-scale developments on large parcels or groups of parcels, higher density and mixed-use developments to provide flexibility in site design. And I don't believe there's a person who would disagree that it'd be far superior to have a master plan for 800 plus acres of land through some sort of a master planning process rather than a piecemeal process over time. And in fact, the county's comprehensive plan anticipates and encourages that there be a master plan zoning district in the future, and my understanding is that is an ordinance that is being worked on by Mr. Whitehouse and the county staff. And as was referenced by Mr. Whitehouse, he referenced table 4.5-2. And when you look at table 4.5-2, as you know, it shows each of the zoning categories, and then each of the future land use categories, and then on the right-hand side shows corresponding zoning districts that would be appropriate for that. And in almost each one of those categories, new zoning districts are applicable to this. And Mr. Whitehouse can correct me wrong if I'm wrong, or Mr. Thompson can correct me if I'm wrong on this, that would mean that if the county adopted a new zoning district or classification, such as a master plan zoning classification, it would fit into almost every one of those zoning classifications. But there's one that it won't. And the one that it won't is the existing development area, which is these parcels here and this parcel here. And so to be consistent with that is one of the other reasons why the request was made for this area to be changed on the future land, its designation to be changed on the future land use map to the developing area, because within the developing area, it does have that statement that new zoning classifications would be appropriate within that classification. These five parcels certainly would be a large group of parcels where master planning would be appropriate, and all of those factors and the other information presented as well as in the project book support this property being within a developing area. And as I said near the outset, that's further supported by the history of this property, which includes the approvals in 2007, the 2008 future land use plan itself, and the versions of the 2018 future land use plan that were recommended by the Planning Commission and then the initial recommended version by County Council. At this time, I know that Mr. Horsey has a few comments that he'd like to make, and when Mr. Horsey concludes his comments, myself and Mr. Horsey and Mr. Crouch are available to answer any questions that the Commission may have. Okay.
Good evening. My name is Robert Horsey from Laurel, Delaware, owner of the property with my brother. Dave did a good job giving the technical aspect of it, but I'm just going to speak from the heart and give the real air version. I do want to talk to Mr. Edgell's statement about the process that the 2018 comp plan went through, and he portrayed it that this would be an abrupt turn of what the public wanted on the 2018 comp plan. Well, I know there's Rich Sarge is sitting in the back. I know that's where I first learned of Rich and met him. And I can tell you, after about 10 months of public workshops that this committee did on the 2018 comp plan, and attending probably everyone except for maybe five, day and night, took time out of our work schedule to go to them, I think a lot of people were disheartened when this committee made a suggestion and it went to the county council and it was amended and some stuff was taken out. And there was a lot of public, and on our side, there was a lot of public disappointment that a lot of time and effort was put in to something that we thought that your commission's say on the 2018 plan would stand. And I don't think it did. But neither here nor there, I'm not going to dwell on it. I just do want to say that Mr. Edgell's entirely wrong, that the public sentiment did have a growth area in the western, southwestern corner of Sussex County. I believe Dave talked on it a little bit about the regionality. You know, when you look at these growth maps, everybody looks at Sussex County with a line across. That's not true. You know, we're right next to the largest city south of Wilmington. Salisbury's almost grew right to the line. I think on 13 corridor, I think they're within a mile, maybe a half mile. You know, the North Salisbury, all the commercial. I think we're doing a great mistake not putting a growth area on the southwestern portion of the county to accommodate the workforce of that metropolitan area south of us. Our maps don't show that. You know, level four state strategies map, I think that was put on during the Ruth Ann Minter administration. And, you know, that's just a line on a plan. You know, one thing I believe everybody missed, when you look at this, our family bought this farm back in 2004. The previous landowner had subdivided, or we call it strip-lotted, every lot that they could, and that created a little hamlet west of Del Mar. And even up on White Deer Road, you'll see all the strip lots. Since then, just north of White Deer Road on Providence Church, there's a whole bunch of strip lots that's been added. So it's a little hamlet of housing that's been created in southwestern of Sussex County. And you go, why? Well, I can tell you why. Del Mar has probably one of the best school districts in our county, and has for a long time. So people that's raising families want to attract to a nice school district. Doing this game for two weeks ago, we celebrated 36 years in business as a family company. About 33 of those years, we've been working with developers. And I didn't go to college. We don't have a degree, but we do have a degree from School of Hard Knocks and learning from what we do. And I can tell you, a successful development attracts to where people like to congregate and people like to live. The hamlet of houses shows that people want to live on the southwestern portion of the county. School district, jobs south of us. If you're on Providence Church Road, that turn when you hit the Maryland line, that turns into Jersey Road. It's approximately 5.5 miles to Naylor Mill Road, which is dead central of North Salisbury, the commercial district. So I think it takes about, from this property, you're to PRMC, or now it's called Title Health, you're to their hospital in about 10 to 12 minutes. So we got the hospitals covered. Second, you know, this isn't a quick process. We're here tonight because the process has changed in my 33 years of doing business. So it's a long, drawn-out process. We're not here, as everybody said, we're not here asking for a plan approval. We're here to look at consideration for changing our maps. It's not going to happen overnight. This is a long process, so we're just trying to start and see, and we hopefully you'll consider this in a positive way. So thank you.
All right, Mr. Hutt, does that conclude your presentation?
That does conclude our presentation. As I indicated, if there's any questions that members of the commission may have, myself and Mr. Horsey or Mr. Croucher, happy to answer.
Well, let's see if anyone on the commission has any questions for you, and we'll start with Ms. Holly Stevenson.
I do.
No questions? Okay. Mr. Hopkins?
Well, I know we did spend, as a commission, we spent a lot of time on the 10-year land plan, and when we got to this area, we spent a lot of time on this, and we could have spent 4 times or 10 times more than the aggregate of everything just on this, being able to analyze and figure out where growth should take place, and it's almost impossible for a body like ours to be able to anticipate exactly where the growth should be. With that being said, when it left us and it went to county council, there was changes that were made, and they were it was disheartening. I think the next one coming up is another example of the same thing. But that's life. I think we do need to have an open mind about making these changes and not waiting 10 years to try to refigure out some of these things.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Well, I came on when you were having the new comp plan approved, so I appreciate your comments, Mr. Hopkins, because I was kind of curious what really was kind of going on. I don't really have any questions. Thank you.
All right.
I wasn't part of the comp plan, but I agree with Commissioner Hopkins. You can't estimate this and get it right the first time. And small adjustments aren't a bad thing. They're a positive thing.
All right. Thank you.
That doesn't mean I'm voting in favor before the hearing's over, though.
understand. Well, I appreciate everyone's statements, and if we have any questions, we certainly can ask either party. I'm sure the state would be happy to come back and chat with us if we ask them to. Mr. Whitehouse, anything?
Not for me, thank you.
Okay. Counselor?
No, thank you.
Okay. All right, then, Mr. Hutt, you take a seat nearby. We'll see if there's anyone here that with an interest in this application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of an ordinance to amend the future land use map of the comprehensive plan in relation to the tax parcels that were read into the record earlier? So I really don't want to read them all again. I think we're all aware of what public hearing we're talking about. So is there anyone who would like to speak in favor? Is there anyone who would like to speak in opposition to the ordinance? Okay. Operator, is there anyone standing by who would like to speak either in favor of or in opposition to the ordinance to amend the future land use plan? Matt, rather.
If there's anyone on the line in favor of or in opposition to this application, please dial 5-star. I have Ashley on the line. Ashley, your line is unmuted.
My name is Ashley. I'm an employee with Sussex County Planning and Zoning, just stepping online.
Thank you, Ashley. We hear you loud and clear, and we appreciate your efforts. Operator, is there anyone else standing by?
If there is anyone else on the line in favor of or not or opposition to this application, please dial 5-star.
Okay. Anyone on the commission have any further questions, comments? Okay, there being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us for the rest of the evening to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning. Thank you.